We live in a culture that has never been more connected and more disconnected. Technology offers us the advantage of being able to call, message, video chat, send pictures in a matter of seconds. Society has evolved to the point that the majority is always connected, devices always on. And so news, advice, opinion, entertainment, instruction, wisdom and foolishness, truth and lies are never too far from our fingertips. And at the same time, people text each other from different rooms in the same home. You may see a restaurant table where four people are sitting at the table, they're all looking down at their devices. You may have a thousand Facebook friends and yet have no one you feel comfortable enough with to sit down and share your life face to face. Parents at the park with their kids, not engaging because they're looking at their phones. And I'm sure this happens in their homes as well. We are more connected, yet less connected. Well, this offers us as Christians, we get Bibles on our phones. Teaching videos, online church, other advantages, if not used wisely, the rest of the internet can drown out the voice of the Lord if you chase after the world. I believe this technology gives many the appearance of being connected to the Lord while actually pulling us away from Him. So let's pray this morning as you open up to John 15 in your Bibles. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, this morning, we want to connect with Jesus. Lord, we want to draw our nourishment from Him, from His Word. Lord, may the words I speak be Your words. And let us remain connected after we leave this place. Lord, I pray Your blessing on the Word of God as it is brought forth today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This year I planted some sunflowers along the fence in our yard. And as they grew, I noticed that a few had fallen over with stems that were either broken or badly bent enough that the plant died. And obviously when the plant died, the leaves shriveled up, the flowers shriveled up as well. And it was perhaps a week or two later that I may have found the culprit. We witnessed a squirrel carrying an entire sunflower stalk, trying to climb up our fence with the stalk in his mouth. And it was hilarious because the stalk was getting caught in between the board slats and he couldn't get it up where he wanted it to go, and he was fighting it. And it was just funny to watch. But then I also began, I didn't plant those for you, squirrel. And I kind of take on, Gina's grandma used to call squirrels marauders. And I have a tendency maybe to agree with them now. Anyone who's gardened, farmed, kept flowers or plants, you understand the principle of today's message. If a branch is no longer connected to the main stem, it will die, just like those sunflowers. Jesus often uses agricultural examples and parables to get his point across about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's the tiniest of seeds when you plant it, but it grows to be a huge plant that will house many different birds of the air. He says that the parable of the seeds, where the seed that fell on the good soil produced 30, 60, and 100 fold, and the seeds that fell on the bad soil, well, they ended up dying. He says that we are like either wheat or weeds or tares. And when the harvest comes, the wheat will be harvested, the weeds will be burned. Today, in John 15, we are in the Last Supper. We are still at that point. They're still in the upper room. It's the night of his arrest. It's the day before he will be crucified. Jesus has already washed the disciples' feet, and Judas has already left to betray him to the authorities. Jesus has told them that he must go, he must die, but he is also preparing a place for them, and he will come back for them to take them to be where he is also. He's promised the Holy Spirit. And now he makes it a point that even though he will be gone, they still must remain connected to him. And so he teaches the lesson they call, just about all people in his culture would understand, the vine and the branches. And so he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is referring to the grapevines. The juice and wine produced from the grapes were consumed by most people in the Middle East in those days. Wine would often be watered down, and so it would make it so it wouldn't be intoxicating, but it will also kill, the alcohol content would kill germs in the water. And so it would have been used at almost every meal probably. And it's just that that's the way it was there in the Middle East. They knew the picture that Jesus was trying to paint for them. And so Jesus is the vine in this parable. Jesus, he says, I am the vine. He equals the vine. Now, I am not familiar with grape growing, except what I know from Bible study. Jesus refers to himself as the vine. That's the trunk of the vine, the part that comes out of the ground. And the vine is the source of nourishment for the entire plant. Now, someone might say, well, I thought the root was the source. I thought if you know botany, if you study plants, the root's the source, right? Well, you know, Jesus is called the root of Jesse. Jesse's the father of David, King David. And the Messiah is prophesied to be the offspring of King David. So in essence, Jesus is the source. As the creator, he is the root. And he's also the offspring by human genealogy of King David. For this illustration, Jesus is just, he's just content to say, I am the vine. I am the vine. He knows that the nourishment must go through the roots, but it has to go through the vine in order to reach the branches. Jesus is the source of life for the branches. We've already studied that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. His very nature is life. Life flows through him to his believers. He's the source. He's the source of life. He's the source of peace. He is the source of joy. He's the source of everything that makes our faith. He's the true vine. Anything else posing to be a vine, a source of nourishment, a source of life, is false. When people believe they can find their purpose in life through anything besides Jesus, through a career, through possessions, whatever, that's a lie without Jesus. Whatever people think might be the source of their life, if it isn't the Lord, it is of the evil one. And Satan can get someone to believe they've found their purpose, they've found their source without Jesus. And if he can do that, then they don't pursue Jesus. And all he's doing is stealing your joy and your peace. The thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus is the vine. The Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. And that word is also translated farmer or gardener. And so the Father is the gardener. Now what does a vine dresser do? Well, he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, I had to do a Google search about how grapevines work, about tending grapevines, and I started to read an article from the K-State Extension on grape cultivation, and I zoned out in about 30 seconds. Man, I tell you what, it was giving me way too much information, and so here's the Reader's Digest condensed version. Pruning is one of the most important factors in grape production. Grapes develop only on new growth, which sprouts from one-year-old wood. And this is one reason why most vines won't produce grapes in their second year, because the whole plant is only a year old. And so its main job is support instead of grapes. Now, in the first year, they're supposed to prune away all the sprouts coming up from the ground except the strongest one. From that one, let four main canes or branches develop and prune off the rest. In the vine's second fall, prune about 70% of the plant. leaving just the main trunk and the canes. And the canes will be a year old in the spring, which means they can sprout the necessary growth then to develop grapes. I don't know if I could do that. I just don't know if I'd get it right. But the Father, our Father in heaven, is the perfect gardener. He's going to get it right every time. He knows exactly what should be pruned and what should remain. And there's a key word Jesus uses in this verse, and that word is every. Every branch that is unfruitful, he removes. Every branch that produces fruit gets pruned so it can produce more fruit. Every means every, just like all means all. And this begs the question then, if he's pruning branches, what are the branches? Well, the branches are people. People are the branches. That's us. And so fruitful people get pruned. Unfruitful people are cut off. Just as the vine has a purpose to nourish the branches, the vine dresser has a purpose to prune the branches to increase production, the branches have a purpose as well. And a lot of people may think, well, our purpose is to produce the fruit, because that's what branches do, right? But I want you to think about what a branch does. It's going like, oh, the branch is saying, I just need to try harder to get those grapes to come out. And there it is. Whoa, look at those grapes. Look what I did. That's not what a branch does, right? Now, I know I'm being kind of silly, but the branch just is. It's just there. If it has a job, that job is to stay connected to the vine. And if it stays connected to the vine, the result will be fruitfulness. And so it is only by staying connected to Jesus that we can bear fruit. And I think we tend to get this backwards when we think about our faith. If I could just spend more time in Bible study, if I can spend more time in church, if I can spend more time serving others and more time witnessing to the faith and increasing my giving, and if I can just be more fruitful in my life, then I will have this relationship with Jesus, and then I will be connected. And that is a works mentality. Now, all those things are important. But does Jesus tell us, you go bear fruit, and I'll decide if I want to nourish you? That's not what he does. He just says, abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Some Bible versions have the word remain instead of abide. It's the same meaning. It is to continue to stay connected to the life-giving nourishment of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we need to do. Jesus tells us, just be connected to me. Just be in me. Our job is to stay connected to Christ. Now, fruitfulness, which are works, is that important? Well, of course it is. The Bible says it is. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And if we restated that in the context of today's text, it would be saying you are connected to the vine without bearing fruit makes you a dead branch. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What kind of fruit can we bear if we are separated from the vine? Nothing. Nothing. Now, I will admit, it often seems that other people who aren't Christians, maybe even people who are hostile to Christianity and Christ, they can look fruitful. They can look prosperous. You can look at their lives and, boy, it sure seems like they're bearing fruit. Maybe they're generous. Maybe they give to charities. And you say, well, what's wrong with that fruit? I mean, especially you look at them, well, they're not serial killers. They're not hurting anybody. They contribute to society. What's the problem with that? Well, I've got a couple of explanations that I've kind of tried to use to kind of bring that in together. If you go back to Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, Solomon wrote that, and Solomon, if I may have a bit of license here, he went on a quest to produce fruit that would please himself. In the process of doing that, he applied himself to acquiring much wisdom, as much as possible. He was the wisest man ever to live, according to the scriptures. He tried to produce pleasure and laughter, and that might look like joy to some people. He engaged in improvement projects. He built houses and planted vineyards and gardens and fruit trees, and he collected great wealth and possessions and servants. He had wives and concubines. He worked at doing all this, and his conclusion was, it is all meaningless. If it ends with the end of this life, if this life is the end of everything, it is all meaningless. You would think he was fruitful in his life, and he was by human standards, but it was all just stuff that would burn up in the end. It had no lasting value. And so here's his conclusion in Ecclesiastes. He says, the end of the matter is this, all has been heard, fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And I could look at that and say, fear God, abide. Fear God, remain in him. Keep the commandments, bear fruit. Abide in God, and then we will bear fruit. Second explanation I find in Mark 11, and in that Jesus sees a fig tree in leaf. And normally that would mean that it would be bearing figs. And even though this was not the time for bearing figs, when it was in leaf, it gave the appearance of bearing figs. And Jesus got there, he was hungry, and there were no figs on it. And so Jesus cursed the tree. He says, may no one ever eat figs from you again. And it seems, you think, wow, that's almost petty sounding. Well, the next morning the disciples saw the same tree. It was withered down to its roots. See, the appearance of fruitfulness without actually bearing fruit doesn't fool Jesus. And it leads to being cut off. So those who aren't Christians who seem to produce fruit, what they are producing is not heavenly treasure, it is earthly treasure. Without faith, without building on the foundation of Christ, that fruit is useless. It doesn't bring glory to God, and it is fit for the fire. And so fruitfulness is important. But our job is to simply remain in Jesus, and the real fruit will come. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are God's workmanship. You are God's masterpiece, is another way you could say workmanship. You are God's vine that he is preparing to bear fruit. Now, it is only by undergoing pruning that we can increase fruit. When I was a kid, we always had a garden. We had five kids at home. Mom did a lot of canning, and we always had an abundance of tomatoes, and they did really well. Now, pretty much my job with the garden was weeding and picking, and you know, that was about it. I didn't get into the how do I make them grow and prosper. As an adult, I have struggled to grow decent tomatoes. I'll just be honest about that. And maybe I don't have the right soil for it. Maybe I'm too lazy. Okay, that could be too. One thing I did learn, though, is to grow better tomatoes, you need to cut the suckers off. And where the branch comes off the main stem, usually there's a V, and then there's a little sucker that comes off of that. And if you don't cut that off, it'll just keep growing, it'll keep growing, it'll get big, it will take up sunlight, it will take up nourishment, but it won't produce anything. And so you cut those off, and you know, I found that on different websites and stuff. And so that's what you need to do, is you need to do some pruning. Jesus says if you're a Christian, if you are connected to the vine and producing fruit, the Father is going to prune you so you can be more fruitful. Now, in the middle of all this, Jesus throws out verse 3, and he says, you are already clean because of what I have spoken to you, the word I have spoken to you. Now, he's talking about vines and pruning and grapes, and all of a sudden this verse seems out of place. Until you find out that the word for prune comes from the root word to cleanse. Jesus is saying pruning in us is like a cleansing of us, or a purging of whatever is not helpful in us to produce fruit. If you turn back to chapter 13, what Stan talked about earlier, Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. And this all takes place in the upper room. And he says to Peter, he gets to Peter, and Peter's like, oh, no, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have anything to do with me. And Peter says, well, then wash my whole body. You know, I don't want to be cut off from you. Then wash me head to toe. And Jesus is, I'm sure he's shaking his head. It's like, oh, Peter. He says, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. And not every one of you, he's talking about Judas. And what he's saying is, if you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, by receiving Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, you don't have to keep doing that over and over and over again. Okay, we don't have to come to faith fresh every week and get baptized every week and do all that. But we need to go to the Father, and we need to be cleansed of our daily sins. We need to be pruned or purged of the daily dirt we pick up as we're just walking through this life. And Jesus is just picking back up on that theme with the vine and the branches. He says, you're already clean, you're already pruned, but that is a continuous process in order to keep the branches healthy and connected and productive. You have been pruned, you've been cleansed by the word that Jesus spoke. So how are we cleansed then? How are we pruned? Well, we can look at Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is sharp, and it acts like a pruning sword for us. Ephesians says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So Christian, if you want to stay connected, if you want to be connected to the vine, if you want to bear fruit for the kingdom, you will be in the word of God. And the Spirit will use that word to cut the dead wood out of your life. The Spirit will use the word to convict you of sin. It will guide you so that the nourishment from the vine isn't wasted on fruitless activities. We are also pruned by our trials and the consequences that God allows. Hebrews 12:6 says, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Some trials are allowed by God to teach us and to train us and to move us into the direction of connectedness to the vine. Now, I mean, unless you like are a Mother Earth worshiper or something, you know a plant doesn't feel pain when it's pruned. But our pruning can sometimes be a painful process, especially when we don't want to let go of the dead wood that the Lord wants to cut away. Random example here, the Lord may allow financial hardship because too much time and effort are spent trying to build earthly treasures. And so he needs to prune away your reliance on money. He needs to prune away your addiction to possessions. And he needs to grow the fruit of faith instead of faith in a job, faith in him. Now, I'm not saying just because someone's going through financial difficulty, it means that they're greedy or something like that. But what I am saying is, in the midst of any trial, whether it's financial or health or relationship problems, your own personal emotional situation, get into the Word so the Spirit can speak to you. Ask the Lord to reveal if there's something he wants to prune from your life, something you need to learn or change. Sin in our life causes unfruitfulness. And sin, when it goes unchecked, when it's unpruned, can even eventually cause the entire branch to be unfruitful. The Word and the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And so the pruning process, man, it can be uncomfortable. It can be painful even. And still, we should pray that God will prune us, that he will cut out the dead wood, that he will cut out the sin, cut out everything that hinders us so we can run the race that he has set before us. And when God prunes, it is proof that we are producing fruit. And the gardener has to keep pruning. He keeps training branches to go a certain way. He keeps cutting back everything that isn't productive. You know, if you ever think that you are at the height of your faith, if you are, man, I have arrived, I don't need to do anything else to be a better Christian. Well, that's a dangerous place to be. Because Jesus always says the vine dresser can cut off, do more pruning so you can produce more fruit. Okay? Pray that God will prune that pride away to think you've arrived. That pruning is a continuous process. Something we haven't really touched on yet is, what is the fruit? What is the fruit? What does it look like? Well, I think the fruit is our evidence of abiding or being connected to Jesus. It's not the abiding itself. It is the evidence. I think it's your character. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit is what is produced from your spiritual gifts, whether it's teaching, giving, serving, mercy. The fruit would be leading people to Christ. Jesus says the harvest of souls is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, fruit contains seeds, right? Seeds are needed to reproduce. Your fruit may be planting kingdom seeds. Maybe it's planting, maybe it's watering, maybe it's harvesting. Fruit may be your intercession for others as a prayer warrior. And so in our service to the kingdom, there are lots of things that could be fruit. But we need to be connected to the vine for those things to grow. Now, abiding in the vine is a conscious choice. It brings glory to the Father. Choosing not to abide results in condemnation. Now, this is all for the glory of God. It's all for the glory of God. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I think giving glory to God, praising God, is a fruit of our connectedness to Jesus. Here he says it's the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Jesus continues, he says, by this my Father is glorified. God gets the glory, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now obviously an actual branch can't choose to do anything. We are commanded to be connected to the vine. And if we are automatically connected, then there's no reason to tell us to remain. The fact that we must be told to do something logically assumes we can choose to not do the same thing. So Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Any branch that does not remain is thrown out. We recently had to have an ash tree removed from our yard. About half the branches weren't producing any kind of leaves at all. There's an emerald ash borer beetle that infects ash trees. Never thought I'd need to know that. But I learned it the last few weeks. It is a foreign insect that was first found in Michigan in 2002. The beetles themselves don't do much damage. They eat a few leaves and that's about it, but they lay eggs. And the larvae feed on the inner bark of the ash trees, and they disrupt the tree's ability to transport water and nutrients throughout the tree. And by the time I figured out what was going on, it was too late to save the tree. Millions of ash trees have died in the United States since 2002. Why? Because the branches are no longer able to get the nutrients from the trunk. And so the trees are removed. They're cut down. And many of those trees are turned into firewood. Fruitless branches are cut away by the gardener, and they are thrown into the fire and burned. This is an either-or proposition Jesus gives us. Stay connected to the vine, submit to the pruning process, and you will produce fruit, or fail, and you are cut off from the life-giving nourishment of Jesus and condemned. Now, I want to encourage you here because that sounds pretty dark. First of all, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Okay? Neither height nor depth, neither angels or demons, not even an ash, wood, borer, beetle can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. However, If you walk away from God, if you separate yourself from the nourishment of the vine, if you disconnect yourself, the Father will also allow the natural consequences of that to flow. His love continues. It never ends. He will continue to try to draw you back. But the bottom line is that when this life is over, when you draw your last breath here, if you are not connected to the vine, if you are not in Christ, your eternity is condemnation. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. And also, as we go through this, don't let anyone else judge your fruitfulness. The Father, the gardener, is the one who determines fruitfulness. Your husband or wife isn't the judge of your fruitfulness. Your friends, people on social media, they're not the judge of your fruit. I'm not the judge of your fruitfulness. Now, it doesn't mean some wise input from fellow believers would be very helpful, but they're not the judge. Even you aren't the judge. Now, you need to examine yourself to see that you're following the Word. But the Father is the judge. And maybe it feels like you aren't very fruitful right now. But even the grapes go a year before they produce anything. And you may be going through a time of healing. You may be going through a time that where you just need nurturing. Jesus tells a parable about a fig tree, and the owner of the fig tree comes up and says, you know, I've had this fig tree for a couple years. Why isn't it producing anything? He says, tear it down, throw it out, cut it down, throw it away, burn it. And the gardener in that parable says, well, let me put some fertilizer around it. Let me take care of it and give it another year. And so there may be some times, some seasons that seem barren to you, but God still sees the fruit. And he's still pruning, and he is still going to make you more fruitful. He is the one who is judging that in you. Your job is stay connected to the vine. Stay in the Word. The Father will make sure that you bear fruit in his timing. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I think, well, that sounds pretty cool, right? If I just stay connected to the vine, I can ask whatever I want, right? Be like, Lord, you know, wow, if you just bless me with a few million dollars, man, think of the work I could do for you. But God could also cause the same good to happen without blessing me with millions of dollars, right? Selfish prayers, I think, are evidence that I'm not very well connected. When we're connected to Jesus, you're in the Word. The Word is in you. And you're going to seek the Lord's will. And your wish is going to be for what the Lord wishes. Well, what does the gardener want? He wants more fruit. And so you can ask what you want. If you ask according to what God wants, it is going to be that you are more fruitful for the kingdom. And God's going to make sure that happens. As we close, I just want to encourage you with the love of Christ and the Father and the Spirit. When you're connected to Jesus, you're connected to his love. And Jesus closes out this section. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He says, abide in my love. Remain in my love. Stay connected to my love. When you bear fruit, you are in Christ's love. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. And so when you're connected to Christ and you're in his love, that is the fruit is the commandments that you're keeping. Okay? And he says also when you're connected in Christ, that's when true joy will overtake you. True joy will overtake you. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. It is a joy to be in Christ. It is a joy that the Creator of the universe cares enough for you to prune you so you can be the best you possible. It is a joy to see the kingdom growth because God increases your fruitfulness. And it is a joy to just do what God made you to do, to stay connected to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, I do pray that you would just help us to stay connected. It's to stay in the Word, to hear it, to read it, to meditate on it. Lord, to look at it and say, what is that? What do I need to do? From your Word. Lord, to open ourselves up to anticipate and welcome the pruning process so we can be more of what you want us to be. Lord, help us to set our minds right as we leave today. Lord, as the temptation will be to walk out of this place and to reconnect with every worldly thing we've been attached to, let us loosen those connections and strengthen our connection to Jesus. We pray it in his precious name. Amen.